May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When I was, this is loud today. Yes, yeah, too loud. Try again, that's better, yeah. When I was a young man in my 20s, maybe not rich, but certainly a rather prosperous investment banker living in London, this passage we've heard from the gospel today, the story of the rich young man, I felt was the most challenging and the most personal of all the gospel stories. I felt like Jesus was talking straight at me. And I felt like I strongly identified with that rich young man. We hear that he's a decent and upright fellow, and I felt the same. I mean, I was, like all young people who do their first jobs living in the big city, I had a lifestyle. But no matter how late I was out on a Saturday night, I always dragged myself to church on a Sunday. I gave to charity. I tried to be honest and upright and decent in my dealings with other people. But just like that rich young man in the story, I had this inkling, I had this sense that I was holding something back from God. I had this sense that I was not giving myself completely to God. And there was something that was for me. Not only that, I was invested with a lot of my energy in things that weren't about God, but about finding status and other things, and things which were very worldly and nothing to do with God. And the thing is that as a middle-aged man now, with a bright future behind me and receding in the rearview mirror, I feel just as convicted by this gospel story today. Because I'm aware that there still remains things for me that are mine, that I haven't given over to God. And I'm aware that in my life, I don't trust entirely in God, but trust in other things. And I'm aware that those things hold me back from being fully the person who God wishes me to be. I've been reading a book recently by one of the great theologians in America right now, a guy called Stanley Hauerwas, and it's called Resident Aliens. And in it, he talks about the greatest theologian of the 20th century, the powering figure on the theological landscape of the Western tradition, a man called Karl Barth. And Barth said, there is no reasonable accommodation to be made with worldliness. Being a Christian isn't just about being a good, upright citizen. It's about a total transformation. There's no reasonable accommodation to be made. And I think Barth was enormously influenced by his experience of living through the early 20th century, in which he saw Christian, Edwardian, polite, well-mannered European society turn on itself and destroy itself in a bloodbath in this First World War, which we still talk about, because they thought that they could make a reasonable accommodation with the forces of greed and evil that still lay within their society under the veneer of Edwardian Christianity. And that's not just a picture of wider society, but any of us who seek to make a reasonable accommodation with the temptations that lie in all of us are fooling ourselves, because those forces can easily bubble up in our lives. But it isn't just about holding off the darkness. It's also about God's aspirations for us. God loves each and every one of you sitting here in this church. He loves you and knows you personally. He knows the number of hairs on your head. And like a parent looking on his child, he has dreams and hopes for you and aspirations for you. He knows the fullness of your potential. He knows the greatness and the goodness that lies within you. He knows that you're made in the image of God, not to be mediocre people, but people of spiritual greatness. And you may be sitting there thinking, what, me? And the answer is yes, you. Each and every one of you has a calling by from God. And unless we as individuals respond to this call, the world will not be the place that God wishes it to be. So what is this call from Jesus mean to you? What are you being called to give up? What must you give up to inherit eternal life? It could be money. It could be money. Jesus said, we can't serve God and mammon, for we will love one and hate the other. And it's interesting, I went online and looked up, how often does Jesus talk about money? And it's, and what was interesting was the number of things that popped up. And the statistics were a little varied, but Jesus talks about money and handling possessions 15% of the time that he speaks. Of the 39 parables that he gave, 11 of them concerned money. 1 in 10 verses of the Gospels is about how we deal with money and possessions. And in the Bible as a whole, there are about 2,000 verses concerning money and possessions, as against, and this really surprised me more than anything, as against only 500 verses on prayer and 500 on faith. I mean, that was a surprise to me. But the story of the rich young man and the story of our life of faith is much more than about money. Money is just a symptom of how we can be so tempted to seek meaning, and we can be so tempted to find homage in things other than God. And it may not be money. It may be something very different that you are invested in that takes you away from realizing the fullness of God's call to you. There's a story for me that particularly illustrates this. It's the story of a Dutchman, a man from the Netherlands called Henry Nouwen, who was a great spiritual writer in the last part of the 20th century. He was a man who had enormous influence on me as I was thinking about my call to ordination. And he's read not just by clergy, but by lay people as well. You know, a popular spiritual writer. And he was a man of you know, widely respected. And he sat on the faculty of the Yale Divinity School, where he was hugely respected and, you know, a best-selling writer. But he too had this inkling that while he was a clergyman and while he was doing many good things, that he was holding something back from God. He realized that he was invested somewhere else importantly that had nothing to do with God. And he felt this question from God, from Jesus, what must you give up to inherit eternal life? And what he realized was that he was so utterly invested in his status as an academic. He was utterly invested in his position on the Yale Divinity School faculty. He was utterly invested in the respect he had from people for being an intellectual, for being an academic. And so in a move that still staggers me when I think about it, he gave up his position at the Divinity School at Yale and went to work as a caregiver at a large community home for people who are mentally developmentally challenged in the most severe way, where no one could have given a damn about his degrees, his intellect, his writing. They wouldn't have cared less. All they cared about was whether he was a gentle, loving, and giving person. And the thing is that Nouwen realized that this was the greatest gift he'd ever received, to go and live and work and be a member of that community where he found a wholeness that he'd never experienced before as an academic, as a man with status in the world. So what is it that you're invested in? What is it that your heart has its treasure in? What is it that for you as an individual, you're investing time and energy and bandwidth and your heart that's preventing you from being the person God wishes you to be? Nuon would have been the first to admit that he was a single man, so he could go and give up everything and go and live in this community. And you know, all of you here have other things and other responsibilities, and you have different callings. But what is it that's preventing you from being that person? My wife and I were chatting about someone we know, and the thing that's preventing them from living into a trusting relationship with God, it's nothing about possessions or status or anything like that. It's fear. It's fear. This person is imprisoned by fear. Fear about what's going to happen to their children. Fear about their husband. Fear about this, that, and the other. Their life is imprisoned with fear. And that's the thing that they need to die to. What is it that God's calling you to die to? And it may be something where you're sitting there thinking, I know what it is, but there's no way I could turn away from that thing. But the good news of our gospel lesson today is that, as the disciples say, who can be saved? Who can be saved? And Jesus says, with mortals, things are impossible. But with the grace of God and with God's Holy Spirit, anything is possible. And any of us here can be the people who God calls us to be if we let the Holy Spirit dwell in our hearts. Amen.